I'm calling this year's homecoming worship series a Peace of Rock because we receive the gift of peace from the biblical image of God as rock. It's this biblical image that's especially prevalent in the book of Psalms. 2 weeks ago, we learned how the magnificence and unmatched qualities of rock parallel the magnificence and unmatched nature of God. Last week, we considered how God is like a refuge or a fortress, providing us with a rock-steady sense of serenity and assurance amid the chaos of daily living. Today, let's consider the comfort and assurance we receive from entrusting our lives to God, who is infinitely greater than we are. So as we've done the last 2 weeks, let's come together by praying together. Please repeat after me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Amen. And that is Psalm 19, verse 14. Those American geniuses of comedy, Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, used to do a routine in their stand-up act called The 2,000-Year-Old Man. Anyone remember that? The 2,000-Year-Old Man? Yeah, in which Reiner would interview Brooks playing the lively old gentleman. At one point, Reiner asked the 2,000-Year-Old Man, "Did you always believe in the Lord?" "No, we had a guy in our village named Phil, and for a time we worshipped him." "You worshipped a guy named Phil? Why?" "Well, because he was big, he was mean, and he could break you in two with his bare hands." "Did you have prayers?" "Yeah, would you like to hear one?" "Oh, Phil, please don't be mean or hurt us or break us in two with your bare hands." "So when did you start worshiping the Lord?" "Well, one day a big thunderstorm come up, and a lightning bolt hit Phil. We gathered around, saw that he was dead. Then we said to one another, 'There's something bigger than Phil.'" There's something bigger than Phil. That realization is the first step of faith. Realizing that there's some power bigger than you, bigger than the things that worry you, bigger than the greatest, most expansive, and most encompassing, and most powerful power that your imagination can imagine. There's something bigger than Phil is really saying there's something bigger than me. That something is when we recognize that God is. That God is active in our world, in our day. That God is the Spirit empowering our very lives. And when we acknowledge God's unmatched grandeur and generosity, God's compassionate love and untiring forgiveness, when we acknowledge that, we want that. We want that God in our lives. We want our lives to unfold within God's expansive grace. In a poetic image, the psalmist expressed that desire to submit to the unparalleled greatness of God. The psalmist appealed, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That's a great prayer of confession. Confessing that we are not the ultimate powers in our sphere of existence. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's an act of submission. Letting go of our illusion that we possess all wisdom and power. having let go of that illusion, we submit ourselves to God's infinite wisdom and power. Confession, realization, submission, that should be it. We're handing the steering wheel over to God. Almost. You see, our egos can't quite let go. We hesitate to surrender completely to God's will for our lives. We have a few things that we're reluctant to give up. Here's how it happens. Starting 1 week ago, or for you, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, but as soon as we last walked out of this room after worship, as soon as we left this room, we began to be seduced. Seduced by idols. Now, they're probably not big ones. Mini idols. Mini gods. For each of us, our mini gods are customized, personalized. What we really want, what motivates us, what we give our time and energy to. If I want you to think about your personal idols, I need to be willing to share with you what some of mine are. My personal list of idols that I subconsciously try to serve includes wanting to be liked, wanting to help people be content, feel happy, the size of my waist, the size of this church, being viewed as a success. Those are some of the idols I find myself being seduced by. Take a moment to notice some of the idols in your life. Things that may be behind the scenes, maybe below the radar, but they exert a lot of control over you. All week long, we serve these mini gods. Subconsciously, they receive our attention, our effort. And as a result, they distract us from aligning our thoughts and words and deeds with the plan that the true living God has for us. A congregational preacher named Dr. Reuben Shears used to remind people why we come to worship every Sunday. He said, all week long, we are cajoled and seduced to worship all the little mini-gods in our lives. Sunday mornings, we come to remember the one true God. On Sunday mornings, when we return to this place, our spirits are crying out like the words of the psalmist, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We come to rid ourselves of the idols that have attached themselves to us like barnacles. We come because we want to stop wasting our time and energy trying to serve those mini gods. We come to turn them over to God. We want to rid ourselves of whatever might distract us from what the Lord requires of us, which Prophet Micah reminds us is to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. We come once again to regain our vision of Almighty God overseeing our lives from unassailable heights, from a rock that is higher. I came across this story of a plumber. Plumber who used to place his trust in a rock that was higher than he. By learning to live his life, entrusting his life to the rock that was higher, and allowing the true living God to be in charge of his life, doing what he himself could not do, by doing that, the plumber was able to rid himself of the idols of anger and self-pity that could have eaten away at him and could have contaminated his family life. I don't know who first told this story, but he or she wrote, "I hired a plumber to help me restore an old farmhouse, and he had a rough first day on the job. Flat tire made him lose an hour of work. His electric drill quit. At the end of the day, his ancient pickup truck refused to start. So I drove him home, and as I drove him, he sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me to just come in briefly to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree by the door, touching the tips of the branches with both hands. Then he opened the door and went in, and he underwent this amazing transformation. His tanned face was wreathed with smiles as he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a kiss. And after introducing me, he walked me back to my car, and we passed that tree, and my curiosity got the better of me, so I asked him about what I had seen him do earlier. Oh, that's my trouble tree, he replied. I know I can't help having troubles on the job, but one thing's for sure, those troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and kids, and so I just hang them up on the trouble tree every night when I come home. And I ask God to take care of them. And then in the morning, I pick them up again. And he added, funny thing though, when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there aren't nearly as many as I remember hanging the night before. That plumber had learned to trust his life to God, the rock that is higher. What worries, what cares, what struggles do we need to hand over to God, the rock that is higher? Entrusting our lives to God, striving to live by serving God's will for the world, we find this peaceful reassurance because we realize that God is infinitely greater than we are and absolutely capable of helping us with the things that we struggle with. As we devote ourselves to serving the one true living God, that rock that is higher, as we devote ourselves to serving that God, we are better able to love and serve God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength.